biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm so glad you did, because this conversation that Pastor Rock and I had on this particular topic really is insightful. Now, this conversation is about 30 minutes, so I'm going to break this conversation up into two parts, which would be a little more time manageable, easy to listen to. So join us now as Pastor Rock and I discuss the judgment seat of Christ. I overheard a conversation by several gentlemen, and they were talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And after hearing that, walking away, I realized I really don't have a clue about the judgment seat of Christ, what it's all about. I have in my mind standing in a courtroom before a God sitting behind a high podium and a high chair, and with a gavel is looking at my life and about to pronounce judgment. Am I close?
Well, you're in the ballpark, but you're not in the right seats.
So that's something I'd love for you to unpack for us.
All right. Okay. Well, the reference is 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." All right, let's begin to unpack that. First of all, who is the we? That's very important.
Right.
And if you look at the entirety of Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the we is believers, the church. He begins that chapter, "We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We are in this tent, and while we're in this tent, we groan. But God has better things prepared for us. So this is written to believers. So the first thing I want to point out is that it is only Jesus followers, believers, who will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The general judgment for all of humanity is referenced primarily in the book of Revelation. Now, it's certainly referenced a number of other places, but the most direct mention is in the book of Revelation, and that is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. That's all humanity being judged, those who have embraced Jesus, being accepted into God's kingdom, and those who have rejected Jesus being assigned to the outside of God's kingdom. And so that's the Great White Throne Judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It is a different judgment involving a limited people, because it only involves the we, it involves believers. Okay? Now, when Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ, he uses a word in the Greek, bema, which every one of his contemporary audience would have understood clearly, because the bema was the stand from which judges dispensed the medals to the winners of Olympic-type athletic contests. So when you watch the Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics on television, the first, second, third place winners stand on podiums of different heights, and the judges come and put medals around their neck, bronze, silver, and gold, and the winner's national anthem is played, and the crowd applauds. Well, the BEMA was similar. At the end of Olympic-type competitions, the winners were called up to receive their awards. And so Paul intentionally used that word picture because he knew his audience would understand it and relate to it. So it is a judgment for rewards, whereas the Great White Throne judgment has to do with either eternal life or eternal death. It is a judgment that determines eternal destiny. The judgment seat of Christ determines rewards. Okay? So only believers appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it is not where their eternal destiny is declared. They're already a part of the we. They're already a part of the body of Christ. It is strictly for rewards. And the rest of the verse makes that clear, so that each one can be recompensed, rewarded for his deeds in the body. What we did with our gifts and our talents and our opportunities as we serve the Lord during this lifetime. Okay?
Yeah.
Those are our deeds in the body, because earlier he's talking about the fact that we get to get rid of this old body with its arthritis and cancer and aging and all the rest, and we'll get new glorified bodies. So this is a judgment for believers, okay, for what we did in this body during this life, not the life after, and it is a judgment for rewards. Then the rewards are based on what we have done, whether good or bad. Now, here's the key to understanding the judgment seat of Christ. When he refers to whether good or bad, it makes it sound like this is similar to the White Throne judgment, like you've done evil or you've done good.
Right.
See? And now either enter into my kingdom or depart from me, I never knew you. But the problem is, the Great White Throne judgment, accurately understood, is not really based on good deeds or evil deeds.
Right.
It's based on your relationship with Jesus.
Right. Right.
Hey. So even that judgment is not a you were bad and you were good judgment. It's a you were in Christ or you weren't and I never knew you.
Right.
Okay. So here, when the judgment is pertaining to believers, why would it shift to good and bad?
Right.
Because the fact that we're appearing at the judgment seat of Christ indicates our eternal destiny is already settled.
Right.
Because it's a believer's judgment.
Right.
Okay. The words he uses here specifically refer to motivation, not so much to what was done, like adultery, fornication, anger, hatred, malice, or sharing, giving, witnessing. No, no. It's not about the deeds, good or bad in themselves. It's about motivation, both the spirit and the enabling that was involved in the deed. So let me unpack that further, because you're giving me quizzical looks. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit who gives life.
Right.
And Scripture makes it clear that when the church moves in the Spirit, when it's Spirit-led, Spirit-directed, Spirit-initiated, Spirit-empowered, then it is effective.
Right.
When our deeds are motivated by pride, insecurity, a desire to control, a desire for recognition, false guilt, attempts to make up for shame, behavior that's compensating for failures at other places, I think you get the picture.
Right.
Then we're moving in the flesh.
Right. Right.
Our orientation is coming from us, our brokenness and our sinfulness. Mm. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And the flesh profits
nothing.
Nothing. So, because of that, that deed, even though it may involve feeding the hungry or something that on the surface in and of itself is good,
right,
that deed at the judgment seat of Christ will be seen as bad because its root system, its motivation was inappropriate.
Right.
And if you have a poisoned root, you get poisoned fruit.
That's right.
And then your fruit doesn't remain.
That's right.
Where Scripture says fruit that is born of the Holy Spirit, your fruit remains. Hey. Mm. And it remains not only in terms of how long is it fruitful, but I got a hunch it means it remains at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
So, right. Believers whose destiny is already settled will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged and rewarded or forfeit reward for what they did during this life. And the basis for the reward or the forfeiture of reward will be whether the deed was good in its initiation and execution or evil and deficient in its origination and execution. Good is that which is originated and empowered and executed by the Spirit. Bad is that which has its genesis in me, and again, my attempts to feel like I'm somebody, gain an audience, be seen as admirable,
right,
stroke my ego.
Mm-hmm.
Those things will be bad. To the good things, and for the good things, there will be reward.
Right.
For the bad things, there will be the forfeiture of reward. Which is why elsewhere, Paul, talking about judgment, and again, the analogy makes it clear, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Paul talks about laying up a treasure in heaven that is comprised of gold and silver and precious stone versus wood and hay and stubble.
Right.
Because he says at the judgment, and judgment in Scripture is always symbolized by fire. At the judgment, what happens to wood and hay and stubble?
It gets burned up.
Gets burned up. What happens to gold, silver, precious stones? They survive. In the case of gold, they're actually purified.
Right.
So Paul was making another analogy to this judgment seat, when you stand before God, if the stuff you've done is fleshly, it's got to be wood, hay, and stubble. And under the fire and the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit, it'll be burnt up.